I just thought I'd kind of have some fun today and kind of go, what was your, I'm going to come around in a second after I get some water, is what was your favorite Christmas gift? Just go ahead and raise your hand. I'll come over to you. What was your favorite Christmas gift of growing up? Like, what was that thing? What was it?
Being with family.
Being with family. Oh, that's a good Christmas gift. What else? What's a good Jesus? This was Jesus in our play. It's good. So here, what was your favorite Christmas gift?
I'm going to go with an actual gift. It was an Erector set.
An Erector's, yes! An Erector, all right, what kind of Erector set? Because there's tons of different kinds of Erector sets. Which one was it? Do you remember?
No idea, but I built a nice fire engine from that.
Yes, that is awesome. Like when you got it, were you like, oh my gosh! You were so excited. I got an Erector set and loved it. Lost all the little pieces, but I loved it. What else? What was your favorite Christmas gift? All right, back here. Kristen.
That guitar.
When did you get it?
16.
Wow, that's awesome. Were you like, did you ask for that? Is that what you really wanted?
I did, but they didn't give it to me right away. They're like, we really think we got one more for you.
I was
like,
okay,
we'll
give it to you. What was yours?
It was my first pair of roller skates.
First pair of roller skates. Oh, really? Did you become pretty good at it? Were you able to like, really? I haven't roller skated in years, and I put on a pair of roller skates. I don't know, and I was not doing so well. My back started hurting, my legs started hurting. I'm like, I'm getting that old word. What's up?
What was your favorite Christmas gift?
Well, my mama had us a homemade dollhouse made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a homemade dollhouse. She had someone make her. That is so sweet. How old were you when you got it? 5 or 6. Aw, that's so sweet. I love that. What was your favorite?
Easy Bake Oven.
Easy Bake Oven, yes. Yes. We were talking about the Easy Bake Oven, Jenna and I. My sister wanted an Easy Bake Oven, but my dad, for some reason, thought it was dangerous. So he bought her the oven, but then cut the cord. And my sister's like, I can't make anything out of it. He's like, but you got the oven. It was very funny. What else? From this side, I'll go to that side in a second. Last, anybody from this side? Last calls? What was your favorite? No? Okay. What was it?
I got a whole set of classical albums for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, she got a whole set of classical albums for Christmas, and she loved it. Oh, you're a history person, too. I love history. That's good. How old were you when you got that? 14. Wow, you wanted classical albums when you were 14, not the Beatles or anything. Oh, that's so cool. I love it. That's good. All right, this side of the room now. What was your favorite gift for Christmas? Favorite gift for Christmas? Yeah.
The original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes! Yes! Oh my gosh. I begged my parents for years for that, and then I finally got it. And then literally that same Christmas, the Sega Genesis like just came out. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, man, my excitement went, because I'm like, oh my gosh, my friend had Nintendo for years. I'm like, I got Nintendo. He's like, oh, that's so awesome. He's like, I just got a Sega. I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. Can I have your Nintendo games now? What was your favorite gift? Favorite gift for Christmas? I saw hands. Okay, wait, right there.
Cabbage Patch Kid.
Cabbage Patch Kid, yes. That was huge. Yeah. Favorite gift. Yes.
Airplanes,
yes. You like airplanes. That's good. What kind of airplane do you like?
Jets,
yeah. Flying high. That's good. Would you want to own the jet and like ride on it? Be like, this is your private jet? Or would you like to fly it?
Fly it.
Nice. All right. You fly it, and I'll ride it. Is that a deal? That's a deal. Good. Last Christmas gift, yeah. Favorite Christmas gift?
My favorite gift was a Timex watch.
A Timex watch? Nice. Is that something you always wanted?
Uh-huh.
What did it look like?
I just learned how to tell time, and I wanted a watch.
Oh, she just learned how to tell time. She won. What did it look like? Aw, I love that. That's good. Any last ones? Last gifts from this idea. All right. My next question is this. What was your most, as a child, not recently, because it can get kind of deep, all right? So, child, what was your child disappointment for Christmas season? What was a disappointment you had during Christmas? Anybody have one? All right.
Socks.
Was it that you didn't get socks or you got socks? You got socks. Yes. My grandma would always give me the ugliest sweaters for Christmas, and then my mom would make me wear them at Easter in Florida, like when we got to see her. Or like, it's Florida, it's 7 degrees, why are we wearing this sweater? It's ugly. All right, but she was so nice. Now looking, when I got older and looking back at it, it was so nice for her. She was like 90 years old, and she went to the store and picked out the sweater, and it was a big deal. I didn't realize at the time, but it means a lot to me now. But I definitely would have won every ugly sweater competition, for sure. What is a childhood Christmas disappointment? Yes. And don't say anything about S, A, you know, that one.
An empty box of shoes.
Empty box of, an empty box of shoes? They just gave you a box? Oh, that's so sad. Wait, were they like Nikes and you want the Nikes and you open them and there's nothing in it? Did somebody steal the shoes? Oh, okay. Oh, that is, oh my gosh, that is rough. That is rough. All right, last one. Last Christmas disappointed. Disappointment. Anyone? Last ones? Last calls. Three. This is your opportunity. Just let it all go. Let it all go, all right? Let it all go. All right, last one. Last one. Last one. All right. Do you know, at Christmas season time, what? Oh, you have one. Oh. No, go ahead.
Not getting a puppy.
Not getting a puppy. Aw. Well, we're not getting one. Well, do you know, my favorite time about Christmas wasn't actually getting the gifts. It was finding gifts that were hidden from me. I loved that part. Like, I loved it. It was actually the first time I learned how to pick locks. I was a little hoodlum growing up. And so every year, I found out where they were stored. And they were stored in my parents' closet. And I figured it out because, I don't know how old I was, 6, 7, I don't know. And the door was locked. I'm like, this door is never locked. Why is it locked now? So I asked my brother, and he's like, well, I can't tell you. I'm like, well, now I know what's there. And so I go, and I'm like, trying to pick it. And I finally picked my first lock. And I'm like, get in there. I see the presents. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. And then Christmas morning would come, and I like knew exactly which present was which. And I like, my mom's like, well, why do you want to open that present? Because I just like the paper. You know, whatever. So then my mom and dad, they figured out what was going on. So they would try to like hide it in other places and I would find it. And then pretty soon my mom got the good idea of wrapping them before, like in the closet so that I couldn't see them. Well, that was the first time I learned how to open up letters and open up presents without them knowing. So then I learned how to take the tape off without them knowing and open. I would literally open the present up, get the toy out, take it to school. Use it. I had the CD player this one time. I was in 7th grade, and I really wanted it, and I was so excited about getting it. And so I opened it up, took out the CD player, used it for the day in school, put it back in the box, rewrapped it, and then put it back in there, right? Well, so my mom and dad figured that I did that. Somehow they figured it out. I don't know how they figured it out. I don't know what it was. So my mom, who has my personality, got me back. So they bought all these presents, every present that I wanted on my list, every single one, and they put it in the closet. They wrapped them all, everything like that. And I go in there, and I am so excited. I'm like, everything I wanted is this, oh, the greatest ever. I go to my brother, tell him all about it. He's getting excited. I'm like, yeah, I got everything. That means you got everything too, and this is awesome. We're high-fiving each other, right? So Christmas morning, we go down. And I opened up presents, and not one of the presents that I was hoping for was there underneath the tree. And my mom and dad go, well, why do you look so disappointed? I'm like, I don't know. It's not snowing outside, and I just wanted. So my mom and dad got me back, and that was, well, it wasn't the last time I looked. I still looked. But I thought about it the next year. You know, sometimes Christmas is filled with excitement and then also disappointment. Sometimes we're disappointed by what we get. Sometimes we're disappointed by what we didn't get. You know, actually, it's filled with so much disappointment. I'll tell you guys a quick story here. So last year was Jen and ours, our first Christmas together, right? Married. Yeah, married Christmas. We had like six before that. So we didn't have a lot of money. And so somewhere around November, I told Jen, I said, Jenna, we have a lot of things to do. Why don't we just not buy each other gifts and we'll just, you know, we just need this money like to put towards other things. So Jen and I, we agreed to not buy each other anything. Well, Christmas came around and I stuck to what I said. And so Christmas morning, Jenna has all these gifts for me and I bought her nothing. I felt horrible, absolutely horrible. I mean, just absolutely. Have you forgiven me for that? You're working on it? That's good. So this year, so now I know. So if you are getting married or you have been married and you tell your wife because of financial reasons you're not buying gifts this year, don't do it. Buy her a gift. Don't not do it, all right? You got to do that. So this year, I bought her gifts and made for sure that it would be here on time. Bought them on Amazon, great place to buy stuff. And then I checked in UPS. All my parents' gifts came in, all the other gifts came out except for hers. It is sitting in the warehouse. I go to the warehouse. I say, look, sir, you don't understand. I need this present. Last year, I didn't buy her anything, even though, and he's looked at me like, you're an idiot. I'm like, I have to get this present. He's like, I'd love to help you, but I can't. I'm like, it said it was going to be in 4 days ago. I need this present. So anyways, I told her that her present was going to be here. I'm so sorry. I feel horrible. Now everybody hates me. So everybody here hates me. So, oh man. Do you know, there are many songs that remind us that Christmas is supposed to be and is going to be a happy time of year. Songs like, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and have a holly jolly Christmas, and chestnuts roasting on an open fire, if anybody's actually ever done that. Jingle bells, walking in a winter wonderland. It always snows on New Year's, it never snows on Christmas. But let's be honest. For some of us, is that what we're experiencing this year? Are we experiencing the holly jolly Christmas and the walking through the snow wonderland? Or do we feel that we're missing something? Or that we've been too busy or stressed out or not everything that we wanted to do, we were able to do? For some of you, it may be personal problems that are going on in your life. Others, you may have had small crisis after crisis after crisis. For some of you, maybe a loved one is no longer with us this year. I know in our family we have a few. And for others of you, we've just been so busy, and the avalanche of problems have just amounted to so many things. The problem with Christmas is not an unusual thing. It happens to us all, and it happens to us often. I know that as I've gotten older, leaving from being underneath my parents' household to living on my own, Christmas has not been the same. Because when you're a kid, you think about Christmas as the gifts. You think about the tree. You think about all of these other things. Even though my grandpa, my parents, and all showed us where Christmas was really about. But so oftentimes, we're easily distracted by what Christmas isn't. We get so hyped up with the expectations of what Christmas is supposed to be that we often forget that the real thing doesn't measure up and we get disappointed. So how can we improve our joy today? That's what my message is all about, is how can we improve our joy today? Well, the answer is actually found in the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men from the east saw the star that signaled the birth of a new king. By the attitudes of the wise men and the events surrounding their journey, we will see today how they were able to have joy in Christmas. You know, one thing is I've studied the birth of Christ for years, thinking how interesting it was, because I grew up in church and we had the, you know, our thought process, our picture of what Christmas was. You know, you had Mary in the blue outfit, and you had Joseph in the red outfit, and baby Jesus, and the cows, and the chickens, and the sheep, and the three wise men, right? And they all came with stuff. But there was a lot of things going on at this time. There was a census going on. There were people everywhere. It was crowded. It was loud. It was messy. Everybody trying to get where they were supposed to go. Mary was pregnant. I don't know if you've ever been around pregnant people. It's a little wild. It's a little emotional. Crying for no reason. And just lots of things going on. Joseph's thinking to himself, can you imagine today if you were Joseph? Let's think about this for a second. That this morning that you were Joseph, you had a dream from an angel saying that your child was going to be the king and the savior of all. First thing I'd be doing is like, my son's a king. Ha! You know, like, I'm cool. Like, we good. Like, my son is king. I'm going to do all right. But if you really think about it, as a father, I have a daughter, a 9-year-old. And you think about the moment that she was born. I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? There's all of these things, and I have to be a dad, and I have to make for sure. Before, money was something that it was good to have because I need to buy clothes or whatever, but now it's something I have to have to make sure she's fed. And you have to have a house because she has to have a place to live. And before, it was just a place I could live in my car, but now she has to have a place to live. At this very moment, Joseph's very first child wasn't just a normal child. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I've often told Jenna, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with a son because I don't like sports. I don't understand sports. Golf, you hit a ball, you walk to it, you hit it again, you walk to it, you hit it again, you walk to it, you hit it again. And then when you finally get it in the hole, you high five and you talk about how many times you hit it to get to the hole, right? I mean, the most fun part about golf course is driving the cart. I mean, that's the greatest thing. So I've told Jenna, I said, Jenna, what am I going to do with a son? Because if this kid likes sports, I don't even know how to throw a baseball. I probably could throw a baseball. But I'm just not good. I remember in high school when I was in freshman year of high school, because I was so tall. I was about as tall as I am now. I was in high school about 6'3", 6'3 and a half. And the basketball coach comes up to me. He's like, hey, your name's Adam, right? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, you're going to be on the basketball team. You're going to be great. We'll love to have you. You're one of the tallest kids. You're a freak. You're huge. You know, you're like, we want to have you. I'm like, sir, you don't want to have me. You don't want to have me. He's like, yeah, you got to be on my basketball team. I said, no, he got upset with me. And then when he actually saw me in gym class, he comes up to me, puts a hand under my shoulder. He's like, yeah, I'm glad you didn't join the basketball team. You're horrible. So I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And I think about this, what is Joseph going to do at this moment when he realizes that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is now his son? If I was Joseph, I often thought to myself, what am I going to teach him? Well, son, here, let me show you how to... Oh, well, Father, I know how to do that. You know, well, let's do math. Well, I can actually do 1 bazillion times 1 drazillion. You know, like, you know, or whatever. Like, how do you do that? And then you got to worry about, well, am I raising him right? Because he knows everything that I'm doing right and everything that I'm doing wrong. Could you imagine being the kids of Jesus? Because Jesus had brothers and sisters and stuff. Could you imagine being them? Why can't you be a little bit more like your brother? Or Mary going up to Jesus, you're wrong. No, I'm not. You're wrong. No, I'm Jesus. I'm not wrong. Could you imagine that just for a second? And then let's think about this with the whole story, right? So you would think that when Jesus would come, he would come first to the churches. Like he'd send a messenger, and the messengers would come into the churches or the synagogues at the time and say, look, Jesus is coming. It'll be a week from now. Let's put it on the screens. You know, let's all go. Please bring, A through O, bring chili. It's cold outside. O through Z, bring blankets, he's cold. But no one knew. They were told about it for millennia, for years and years and years. Actually, every Jewish girl at the time wanted to be the mother of Jesus. But no one recognized that he was coming. Except for a few people, the wise men. Now, I'm asking you this question. Who were the wise men? Who are they? Who are the wise men? Anybody know? Yes. Yes, they're into astrology and astronomy. They're looking. Yes. Bingo. He never said three. There could have been one. There could have been 20. It doesn't really know. But because of that story, we three kings, now everything's three. But think about who they were. Anybody remember that show back in the 80s? Or like you saw the bazillions of commercials about Chloe, the psychic person? You know, come and call and Chloe will tell you all the answers to everything you want to know, right? The wise men were these people. They were stargazers. They were the people that the moment they would come into your church, they would say, you need to get saved, buddy. Get saved. We're going to pray for you. We're going to get rid of all this witchcraft stuff, whatever. But the interesting thing is that Jesus went to them. Actually, I believe there was a call to everyone, but they were the only ones that answered. You know, oftentimes in our Christian life, our Christian world, we have everything down. We got everything. We're happy. We have our church. We have our church pews. We have our worship team. And as long as those things are the way they're supposed to be, we don't think about anything else. As long as the worship song that we had to have to fill our hearts was played that Sunday, we're okay. As long as they talked about the scripture verses or the scripture that needed to be spoken to me that day, I'm okay. Or that year, or whatever happened to be. As long as the children's church was good enough for my kids or the youth group, then I will stay. You see, oftentimes as Christians, we don't really necessarily look for Jesus. We look for the things that make us happy. Some of us have birthday cakes for Jesus. My mom always did. I thought it was silly, but now I think it was great. But we put our focus on all of these things, and pretty soon all of these things leave us to disappointment. Because sometimes the youth group won't be as good as it should be, or the children's church, or the worship song, or the pastor's message that day. But really, it's not about that. It's about the one we've came to seek. You see, the wise men, the reason why the wise men were so apt to look, they had all the money, all the power, all the things they need to have. Obviously, they were loaded because they came with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had all the things the world had to offer, but they were looking for something that they needed, something that they did not have, something that we in this room have, but they did not have. You see, the world is looking for something. See, we try to water everything down as a church and hoping that they would come. But what they're looking for is the real Jesus, the real thing, the real deal, the real thing that's in your heart and in your life, not watered down, but the solid word of God. You see, it's hard to argue with someone that's watered down, but it's not hard to argue with someone who's standing on the true word of Jesus. They can argue with it, but it's not wishy-washy and it's not movable. It's real and it's honest. You know, my dad, a father, one of the greatest things that a father is in a home is for a teenager to be able to push back and yell at their father or to be able to say that he's wrong and have arguments with him. And for him not to move and for him to do the right things. Same things with mothers. For you to do what is right and to not move and allow them to argue with you. Because you know what is right. The world is looking for someone to argue with, for someone who doesn't move, for someone that does what is right. So when they realize what is right, they'll come to you and they'll know that you are true because you are unmovable. Please do not understand my heart in this. It's about kindness and love, and that is not unmovable or unshakable. It's the love of Jesus that changes hearts and lives. The Magi were looking for something that was different, something that was good. So let's find out what they found. The Magi, what do we seek? Your joy is equal to what you seek. That our joy is equal to what we seek. You know, when Jenna found this very handsome, strapping young man, me. She probably thought to herself, and we've had other conversations, about you would think that if you got married or you were dating a pastor, that life should probably be pretty good. That he'd probably be the most loving, the most kind, the most thoughtful person on earth, because we're supposed to represent Jesus. That's not true. I can be a pain in the butt. I can be argumentative sometimes. I can be unloving and unkind, even though that's not my heart or my desire. It's just that happens. When we were dating, I said, Jenna, and we both looked, I said, Jen, you are my love and I love you, but you are never be my everything. Only Jesus can be my everything. And I can be your love and I can be everything else, but if I'm your Jesus, I will always fail you and you will always be dissatisfied. Because I fail her all the time. They were seeking something that could not fail them. We often look for Christmas in all the wrong places only to be disappointed. We often do what the Magi do. Okay, yeah. Reverse that. Good. I skipped things. Yes, we always look for things in all the wrong places. I actually skipped that one. That was supposed to be the next point. Oh, well. What do we seek? You know, when I sought things before I knew Jesus, and even after I knew Jesus, about what was the most important thing, I was always looking for something to fill me up. And I actually, at one time, I was making about $80,000 a year. And my paychecks were $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 at a time. And I'd go in a store, buy a brand new suit, walk out of the store, go the next day, come in wearing that suit, buying a brand new suit, coming back in, because that made me happy at the time. All those things made me happy, but then I realized that they did not make me happy. Every day I needed a new suit or I needed something else. My closet was filled with suits. I look back and go, man, if I could have the $80,000 now, what I would do with it? Oh my gosh, I wasted the money. What I sought didn't really give me happiness. It's what you seek. We often do what the Magi do. Wait, I'm just keep in mind, skip to that. I don't want to go there. The answer is found in verse 2 of Matthew. They came to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? For we saw the star in the east and have come to worship him." Christmas was an opportunity to worship Jesus. They saw the star. They were looking for something that would change their life, and they found Jesus. They were looking for someone to worship, and they found him. That's the first thing that can give you joy in life, is by finding Jesus and worshiping him. That is the greatest thing that can ever give us joy, is that moment of knowing who he is. The next step is, where do you look? Your level of joy is directly related to where you look. I just told the story about Jenna and looking not to me, but to looking to Jesus as for the joy. We often look at Christmas in all the wrong places only to bring disappointment. We often do what the Magi do. We buy our own... doesn't make sense. By our own, we look to Christmas in all the wrong places. The stars indicated that the king would be born in Israel, but instead they went to the capital city of Jerusalem. You know, when the Magi came, they were looking for a king, and obviously if I was looking for a king, I would go to a palace, right? So they went to the palace looking for the king, but the king wasn't there. Because they were looking for something that they thought would be there. In their own understanding, in their own life, they thought that that's where the king would be. Though they knew where the king was supposed to be, they still said, you know what, no way. The king has to be in this palace. He has to be here. This is where he has to be. Our joy, we look for it and go, it has to be in Christmas. It has to be all these. Let me get this. Oh, a little side note. I love Christmas trees. I love lights. I love candy. And we celebrate. We're going to have Christmas this afternoon. I love all of these things. And they are so good. But so many times we put all of our joy into that. And then we get disappointed. Maybe the kids didn't like the presents you bought them, or whatever happened to be, or the food wasn't there. I can tell you that every year, my Christmas at my family growing up, we didn't eat food, we ate snacks all day, which we were a snack family. We had cheese balls, and we had tons of cheese balls all day long, and pop and sugar, and it was like the greatest day of the entire year, right? So then I get married to Jenna, and I think, well, that's what every family does. Jenna's family eats Chinese food on Christmas. So the first year I go over there, I'm like, wait a minute, where's all the cheese balls? Like, where's the, you don't have any pop in the house? You don't have any cheese, not one cheese ball, not even a candy cane, you know? Wait, we're not eating until 7 o'clock tonight with Chinese food? I don't eat Chinese food on Christmas. But actually, I love Chinese food for Christmas. Still got to work on the cheese ball thing, but the Christmas thing. You know, but if my joy was in the cheese ball, it's going to leave me dry. But if our joy is in Jesus, the cheese ball doesn't matter. Though, to be honest, it still matters to me. The star was indicated. All right. Once the Magi, the wise men, found that they were looking where they were looking for. Wait. Once the Magi, the wise men, found they were looking where they thought Christmas should be, they turned to God and sought the scriptures and looked at the star once again, which the star was hovering over Bethlehem, and to the house where the child was living. They finally figured it out, that Jesus wasn't in the palace, but he was in a manger. I often thought about this, thinking about Mary. So Mary's there. She's pregnant. She just gave a birth to the boy. Yeah, she had some angels, which would completely be amazing. But then in the Bible, it says that she even thought to herself. She held these things dear to her heart, wondering and wondering what was going on. Could you imagine? Like, this was, like, you came to a census. Now you're living in a, you had a baby in a manger, and you're wondering about these things. And all of a sudden, hi, where are the wise men? Can we come in? Hey, how's it going? Is this baby Jesus? Oh, how's it going? Like, that would be absolutely amazing. I'd be like, how did you get my Snapchat or my Facebook thing that Jesus would be? How'd you know about it? Well, we followed the star. Just think about all the things that the three wise men did. They had to get the money, so they had to ask the king, and they had to go on the fact that they were following a star. Could you imagine that? Your kids come up to you one day and you say, well, what college are you going to go to? And you're like, well, I'm just going to follow the star. They're like, oh, I'm going to show you some stars. You know, whatever happens to be, right? These are wise men following the star. I bet you some people thought they were nuts. And then they found baby Jesus, and Mary just must have been like, this is real, Joseph. Joseph, this is real. And Joseph's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is my son. And then he saw the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and he's like, all right, Jesus, high five. Yes, we're doing good. We got some money. This is good. It must have been absolutely amazing. Then pretty soon, as the wise men are there, I often thought about this. The sheep came and the shepherds. This is just a fun side story. So the sheep and shepherds come. This must have been crazy because, you know, in the story, you think there's like four or five sheep and a shepherd, right? And they're walking around, and meh, there were thousands of sheep. Shepherds had thousands of sheep. You probably couldn't even hear baby Jesus crying. You just heard the sheep, meh, right? So you just had all sheep and chickens, like all of these different animals and wise men and people showing up. I mean, think about after, like, if you were pregnant and you just had a child, you don't want to see anybody. Like, maybe your mom or your dad to see the baby, but you don't really, your hair's all messed up, you haven't slept all night long, you're eating hospital food, and that's not all that great, right? And you have all these people coming in. What a crazy day. What a messy, crazy story. But Jesus came into what life really was like. He came as a king that understood. So your joy comes from where do you look? It also comes from what do you give? Your level of Christmas is directly related. Your level of joy at Christmas is directly related to what you give. I'm not talking about Christmas gifts or the things that you can buy. Oh, that story. It's about what you can give. I remember in January a couple years ago, we were giving out hot chocolate, and it was freezing. It was like 10 below, and we were all deciding whether we were going to go or not because it was just way too cold. We had a group of us, about maybe 20 to 30 young adults, and we're like, it's just way too cold. I don't know if we should do it. And then I don't know if it was me or someone else. We're like, yeah, but they need us to go down to give these clothes to them because they're cold. So we brought hot chocolate down there, which hot chocolate didn't last very long. It became cold chocolate. But we were down there, and we didn't really, I didn't really know. I didn't see the clothes that were there. So there, we had these racks of clothes downtown in Tower City, and all these homeless people came out of nowhere. I mean, the snow was like up to our knees. Like, police weren't around. I mean, there was just snow everywhere, and it was so, so cold. We took shifts in cars, like going to the car, getting warm, going back and doing something. So anyways, this homeless person comes up, and he's like, oh, man, this coat's amazing. Oh, this is great. He looks at it, he's like, it's Gucci. I'm like, a Gucci jacket? Like, this homeless guy's walking around, wait, where'd that Gucci jacket come from? And then another person comes over and he's like, Louis Vuitton? I'm like, are you serious? There's Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and these homeless people? I'm like, Jen, I'm trading my jacket. I'm like, this is amazing, right? It's so, so cool. I mean, literally, like, there was somebody brought garbage bags full of super, super expensive clothes. And I thought to myself, why would someone give these clothes to these homeless people? I didn't know for maybe a month or so later, and then the person who actually gave the clothes, who actually was a young adult in our group, came. He said, Adam, do you know what? He said, I just want to tell you, I just want to tell you. He's like, I was so wrapped up in all of this stuff. All my identity, everything about my life was wrapped up about this. And I just wanted to give it away. I wanted to bless them. I wanted to give it away. I'm like, wow. I said, how do you feel? He's like, I feel awesome. He said, I feel free for the first time in so long. I'm not bondage to all this stuff. And if I didn't say it to him, I definitely thought it. The next time you clean out your closet, I help you with that joy. Yeah. But there was joy in that. It was bitter cold, it was freezing, and it was uncomfortable. But when we came home, we were so happy we did it. I actually don't think I wanted to do it that day because it was so cold. I was like, let's go home. But giving gives joy. Giving gives joy. One time we were able to do an outreach and young adults were there, and this was the time where I wasn't making any money and I was just trusting the Lord. And for 4 years, the Lord took care of me. And we said, let's feed people for Thanksgiving dinner. And we were able to feed 700 families. 700 families. And why am I telling you this? Because I want you to understand why I'm saying this. We were a bunch of young adults. There was about 30 to 40 of us young adults, all in college, didn't have any money, all of us struggling, all of us doing it. And I definitely was struggling because I had no money and trying to live. And I had a daughter of 9 years old. Well, she was 3 or 4, whenever she was. And we were able to feed 700 people with the little bit that we had. Churches would come up to us and, how are you doing this? We don't have the money to do this. I said, because you didn't budget for it. That you didn't budget to give. You didn't put this as a priority in your heart and your life. If you do, it will happen. They're like, how can you do this? I said, because Jesus wants it to happen. When we give, when we do things, God always covers the things that we need and always will give and multiply to crazy stuff. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many miracles happened in those 4 years. I had people tell me you should just write them down. God did, not me, God did amazing things. I didn't know what I was doing. I just believed God. What could we do? What joy could we have by just believing Jesus? The Magi came with 3 gifts. He came with the gold. I'm almost done. He came with the gold. The gold was interesting. He gave the gold, and the gold was a representative of kingship. They came recognizing who he was as a king. And by giving the gold that they had, they said, we undoubtedly 100% believe that you are king. No one gives money to anything they don't believe in. And they gave 100% and said, "You are king." The other thing they did was frankincense. Frankincense was something that was used in the temples of the day by priests. It was mainly really used for priests and priesthood. So when they came, when the Magi came, they came to say, "Jesus, we believe that you are our high priest. We give you this gift believing 100% that you are the priest that is going to save the world." And the last thing they gave was myrrh. Myrrh was a gift used to anoint the body before burial. They gave the gift already knowing what Jesus was going to do before he even did it. That Jesus would die on the cross for our sins. Three worldly people. Three rich worldly people. Wanted to give up everything in a sense. Go on a very long, uncomfortable journey. Believing that he was who he said he was. And they found just that. Today, God doesn't want our gold, our frankincense, or our myrrh. What he wants, and the greatest gift you could ever give to Jesus, is you. It is the great. He owns everything. There's nothing that you can buy him this Christmas that's worth anything to him. The greatest gift, I got the gift from my little daughter. She gave me a picture of herself. It's the greatest gift. I love it. I quickly unwrapped it and put it on my dresser, and it will be there forever. Because she is the greatest gift. She is the greatest gift she could give to me is herself. That's the greatest gift that God ever wants from you. Think about the little kids that draw pictures that don't end up looking so good. But you love them so much because your kids made them. It's the greatest gift is you. The other greatest gift that you could give the Lord is forgiveness of family members. The forgiveness of people in your family. The greatest thing that I remember as a kid was family. Even as messy and crazy it was and how my family would always argue about the Bible. Yeah, that would be my family. Dad had 15 brothers and sisters. They all sat around the table, and after they ate, they spent 2 hours arguing the Bible. And we'd watch MTV. And I remember my sister going, "Mom, Dad, shut up. Like, what are you, stop. Like, why are you arguing over the Bible of all things? Argue over politics or something. But the Bible?" I mean, it was a throwdown in my house. It was Jerry Springer's show about the Bible. It was wild. I mean, I think my uncle almost got into a fight with my dad one time. I mean, it was like hardcore Jesus talking. But you know, I think about that and I'm like, wow, my family argued about the Bible. How cool is that? My family still argues about the Bible. But if there's anything to argue about, it's the Bible. But it's to forgive the ones that have hurt you. If you don't forgive them, your family soon goes. And that's the one thing that the world is losing, is family. This is a family right here. We could argue about lots of stuff. And I like to, if you want to talk about the Bible, I love not arguing, but I love having interesting, thoughtful discussions. Let's do it. Let's get coffee. I'll do it. I love it. It's awesome. But to be able to forgive in a world that says it's so tolerant, it's such a world that's so unforgiving. Forgive the ones that frustrate you. It's easy to forgive the ones that don't frustrate you. Forgive the ones that frustrate you. It could be a brother, a dad, a father who've done horrible things. Don't forgive him for his sake. Forgive him for your sake. Let it go. Let it go. He's also wanting the gift of compassion towards one another. You know, maybe you have a husband or a wife and they're opposite of you. There's lots of times where Jen and I are opposite of each other. I'm like, why would you do that? That's so silly. Have compassion towards one another. You don't need to understand where they're coming from. Just know that their heart is probably good. No one ever just does mean things, oftentimes just to be a jerk. There's typically a reason behind it. My dad used to beat us when we were little. Horrible. My mom separated from my dad for a long time until Jesus healed him. I hated my dad for that. My brother, my sister, we all hated him for it. And my mom would say, but he loves you. And we're like, then why does he hit us? She's like, because he loves you. He doesn't mean to do it. He doesn't want to do it. I'm like, well, then stop doing it. But you know what? I'm able to look back in my life, and because I was able to forgive my father, my life has been so much better. Because I'm able to look back as a son and go, yeah, that was wrong what he did. Never unmistakably not, it was wrong. But he did do it in a very warped way because he loved us. But he was set free from that, and Jesus healed him.